Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Matt from FlipWeekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. It's a podcast all about making money reselling. We go to garage sales, we go to thrift stores, we check out Facebook Marketplace, we even go to church sales, something that I did on Saturday morning. We just try and make some money in this world where everybody just needs a bit more. Your 9-to-5 job just isn't cutting it. Everything is expensive. I got a Subway today and it cost me $16 for a fucking sandwich. We need to be making money on the side to be able to fund our frivolous lifestyles. If you want to be buying a sub for $16, you need to be finding items in thrift stores that you can resell for money. Like, everything is just so expensive. We need some money. I mentioned that I went to a church sale on Saturday. It was a disaster. Saturday was a busy day for me. It was my niece's second birthday, I guess, party. Even though it was just the family, it was like a party in the sense that we went somewhere. I mean, it wasn't a party, right? It wasn't a party. We just went somewhere. But on that Saturday morning, I was able to go to this church sale in my area. Now, I've been to it before. Maybe last year, the year before. And I got a lot of cool items in their little toy sale. I was able to get like these 90s toys. I made a boatload of money. I've talked about it on Flip Weekly before, not the podcast, in the newsletter at flipweekly.com. You can go back and look at that. And I thought, you know, I'll go to it this year because the quote-unquote birthday party wasn't going to start until, I think, like 10:30 later in the day. I was going to meet my family at this farm, which I thought was going to be like, you know, like a zoo farm. Does that make sense? Like a place that you go that has like a lot of farm animals. But I rock up there. This is after the church sale. I rock up there and I'm literally like, where the fuck am I? There is no one else around. It looks like somebody's backyard. Like, we're going to just pet their random animals in their backyard. But before that, I went to the church sale and it started at like 8:30. I rocked up there about 8 o'clock. I got in line. I was maybe the 10th person in line. There, by the end of, by 8:30, there was a huge line behind me. And I figured, okay, let's go in there. Let's see what there is. I was actually recording it on my phone because I thought this might be good content if I could find something interesting to talk about. I ended up being way too focused on the recording aspect and less focused on looking for cool shit. It was so distracting, and I was also wary because the very last time I recorded at a garage sale, somebody was like, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. So I downloaded this app that turned your phone completely black so people can't see what you're doing, which means you feel like you're doing something wrong. So I'm thinking about that as I'm walking into this church sale. I immediately head to the area which I had amazing results before, their little toy area. And I guess that's where everyone else was heading to as well. The 10 people or so in front of me, they went that way. So we're all shuffling in. Nobody was really pushing, which was good. But we walk inside of this room and it looks sort of like Christmas. There's lights hanging up on the entrance. It's sort of dark and enclosed. It just felt a bit like walking into Santa's workshop. However, there was nothing really in there for me to buy. When I say nothing really in there for me, I mean I didn't buy a single fucking thing. It was a gigantic waste of time. They didn't just have toys. You went into a different area. You could find books. You could find clothes, mostly women's clothes. They had flea market stalls set up. Basically eBay prices on that sort of shit, but I just couldn't find anything. I think I was too focused and too wary about recording and making sure that, you know, am I pointing the camera at the right things and is anyone looking at me? I think I was just way too in my head about it. But yeah, I wasn't the first one in, so the people in front, I guess, got some of the coolest shit. But even then, I didn't see anyone walking out with amazing, you know, like 80s toys or collectibles that are worth a lot of money. You know, they do this sale twice a year, I think in May and then in October. So whether or not everyone gave their good shit back in May and now October's come, it's just before Christmas and no one is donating their shit to the church. So yeah, I struck out on that. Then I went to this fucking farm and I think we struck out there. My niece absolutely hated it. Now, the thing that she enjoyed the most at this farm, which had pony rides, which had they didn't have much. They had, it felt very much like a Tiger King situation where people are able to pet and hold, you know, the little chickens, little ducks. My niece didn't enjoy any of this. She was like, no, scared. Like, just fucking, they're just chickens, they're just ducks. But it very much gave me Tiger King vibes because I have a feeling they would breed these chickens and ducks like Tiger King was breeding the baby tigers, because that's what everyone wants to hold, that's what they want photos of, that's what's cute. And then what happens to them once they grow up, fucked if I know. They get fed to the donkeys or the llamas that were there. This place, it smelt, there was flies fucking everywhere, it was horrible. My niece didn't want to get on the pony. She didn't want to feed any of the animals. The only thing that she wanted to do was collect the eggs. There was an area in this little farm where you can collect eggs from the chickens. You go into like this aviary sort of situation and collect eggs into a carton of eggs, you know. The funny thing is that those chickens didn't lay the eggs. All these eggs have been stamped. They, I don't know, buy in the eggs and then place them into the chicken coops. It just seems very, superficial, right? It doesn't seem like a legit farm. But anyway, did all that on Saturday and went back to my sister's place. I was there last weekend. I was there this weekend. Last weekend, I got a good deal on Facebook Marketplace with all those video games. And this week, I've been coming to expect that I would be hitting home runs. You know, I've been thinking that I'm like that fucking, who's that dude in the MLB right now that's carving it up, who's playing like amazing, Otani. Like, I think he's a Korean guy. He is absolutely dominating, hitting home runs every single game. And that's who I've been feeling like lately. Every time I jump onto Facebook Marketplace on the weekend, we've been having amazing success. And so here I am on a Saturday thinking I'm going to have amazing success. I'm going to be hitting home runs. So I see this Facebook Marketplace deal and I immediately sent through a message. The thing had been listed 24 minutes ago. And what it was, the title was DVD VHS Panasonic Recorder. There was multiple photos and it was of these three consoles, these three VHS DVD consoles. You know, the players, the recorders, DVD, VCR. They were listed for $30 and there was three of these. I could see two remotes and I was thinking like, I mean, this could be a home run. The description said, selling these as a bulk lot. The lot for $30, cleaning out my in-laws, have no idea if they work. Two of them turn on, one I can't find the plug to test it, sold as is, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I send through a message. I'm wanting to buy this. It's only $30. I know that even if they don't work, we can sell them for parts. I'm committed to this. The one thing that sort of made me hesitant was that the seller was somebody with over, I think it was like 120 or 130 reviews on Facebook Marketplace. And I mean, that is more than me. So this person sells on Marketplace a lot, yet they're not wanting to sell these individually, or they're not wanting to test it out. It just sort of struck me as it might be walking into like a trap, right? I'm thinking that's my mindset. But again, I'm thinking even if they don't work, I can sell them for parts. And using Google Lens, after sending through the message, I was able to do a bit of comp research and I could see that one of the units, which was the combo unit, DVD VCR combo unit, it sells on eBay in America, overseas pricing, for about $300, and there's one listed on eBay within Australia, and that is listed for $550, and it had 9 people watching it. Now, for all intents and purposes, I'm looking at this DVD VCR combo, and it doesn't look much different than the other ones that I've bought before, which can max out at like $150-$200. The fact this is listed for $550 with 9 people watching, that must be something a bit different about it. And the thing that was different was that this was able to transfer the VHSs onto DVDs. That is what people will pay more money for. And I'm thinking, like, this is going to be a good deal. That will pay for everything. If it doesn't work, we can still sell it for parts for about $100. And we can list it up for, I mean, we could undercut that $550 listing and try and get $500 for it. And the other ones would just be bonus, right? So I go out there, I pick them up, and I get them home. And as I'm carrying this thing, I notice like so much jingling. Like it's so noisy, right? I look at the unit that is making the jingles, and it's the DVD VCR combo unit. And I pick it up and I feel so much moving around on the inside of this unit. Like it literally feels like the entire electrical components inside of this are loose. You know, like if you opened it up, everything was just going to fall out. I'm thinking like, this is a bad buy. I'm going to open this up and it's going to be fucking nothing inside. I'm getting like flashbacks to that scene in Jingle All the Way where Arnold Schwarzenegger goes to buy the doll from that bootleg warehouse. And as he's inside, he can feel the doll is loose. He opens it up and everything falls out. That's what I'm thinking about this unit. So, I mean, I've taken apart electronics before. I know what I'm doing. I turn this thing upside down, unscrew all of the screws. I open it up and you would not fucking believe what is inside. I do not know what these cunts have done to this thing. What have they done to this thing? Inside of this unit, someone has somehow stuck CD cases, like the actual CD cases, 4 CDs, inside of the little like mail slots on the DVD player. They've put not one, but they've put 2 of these fucking things inside of it. I'm not kidding. Like, there's like a jewel case, the TDK case for a fucking CD inside of the unit. And there's 2 of these fucking things. And then I like move them across and I can see that somebody has shoved like fucking 10 DVDs inside of the slot. It's like they've just put one in after the other after the other. So no wonder this thing like wasn't working for them. They have their entire like fucking CD catalog inside of this player. So I pull them out and I go to like put the case back on and I can still hear fucking jingling. It feels like a lot smaller, but then I tip it up and fucking loose change comes out of this thing. So somebody's been feeding money into this like it's a fucking jukebox. So I don't know what the fuck these cunts have done to this. I mean, this is like childish behavior. Like this is a child has done this. They've been getting a CD and they've just fed it in and then they've realized they can push it into this fucking thing and they've just started pushing one CD in after the other and then they've run out of CDs and they see CD cases and they're like, oh, that fucking fixed too. So they just keep chucking this shit in and then they've just grabbed some money and put that in too. Like what the fuck? It has to be a kid, right? Like no adult human would do this. It has to be a kid. So I take all that out, I put it back together and I start, you know, I set it up. I connect it to my TV, turn it on. We got some power, but the front LCD screen doesn't really work. I'm like, all right, that's one thing down. It's not that big of a deal. We can still sell it. I test out the VHS component. The VHSs sort of get stuck as they're being ejected. One of the things inside of the VHS player feels like it's too far down or too far up, and it just doesn't seem to like be ejecting tapes very well. So I'm like, all right, that's 2 things. And then I move on from the VHS side to the DVD side. I put in a DVD and it says the DVD cannot be read. I'm like, fuck, try another DVD. That DVD can't be read either. So that's 3 things. And I'm thinking like, we're on baseball terms here, right? So that's 3 strikes and this thing is out. This thing's off the balcony. So I'm not going to be able to sell this as a working unit, really. It's partly working, but then, you know, it leans more towards parts, you know, partly working parts. So I'm going to have to sell this as a parts only console unit thing. So I'm going to try and get about $100 for it. I'll include postage as a way to try and get a sale, you know, encourage people to buy it. The other unit, the VHS player by itself, I haven't tested it out yet because I'm waiting on the power cord to be delivered. I ordered that on eBay for like $6, including postage. That should be rocking up in a day or so. Maybe I should open it up beforehand. Who knows what I'll fucking find inside of it. I might find the cord fucking shoved inside of the unit. I should probably open it up and see what sort of treasures are hiding inside of it. But yeah, there was that. In the deal was also this DVD player that I'd never heard the brand of before. I looked it up. There's no single active or sold listings for this. I did a Google search. Can't find anything. I think it's just one of those like buy low, go low, reject shop type DVD players. It's probably not worth that much. It's certainly not like a Sony or anything that's going to be able to get me, you know, $50 to $100. So I'll end up donating that to a Savers to get like that 20% discount coupon thing. I'll make sure it works before I do that because I don't want to be fucking giving them dumb shit that doesn't work. So I'll do that. And yeah, this deal, this Facebook Marketplace deal, this Saturday deal that I've come to expect to be like a huge home run has fallen flat. We might be able to get, if this other VHS player works, it comps out at about $120, $150. So that's still good. Like I only paid $30 and we might be able to get $250 out of it. So, I mean, that's okay. I mean, I shouldn't be complaining. $30 to $250 would still be good. I'm getting flashbacks to watching the finale of The Block and those two cunts won like $120,000 and they're fucking upset about it. I don't know. I don't want to get off too much on a tangent, but that fucking show, a friend of mine convinced me to watch all of it last year. So I was committed for three weekday nights a week plus the weekend to watch that fucking show. I hated it so much. And this year I decided not to watch it because it takes up way too much of my time. And I told you I was at my family's place over the weekend and Mum was like, "Have you been watching The Block?" And I'm like, "Mum, please tell me you have not devoted your time to watching this shit show." She's like, "Oh no, just the past couple of episodes." So I agreed to watch the last episode and I was grinning from ear to ear seeing these cunts not make any money. That fucking billionaire cunt has been propping that show up. And nobody wants to be buying an overpriced $3 million fucking house. But anyway, yeah, I felt like that guy just then for complaining about making $200 to $250 from a $30 deal. The entitlement on me, the entitlement. How fucking entitled can you get? Anyway, so yeah, that was my only Facebook Marketplace deal over the weekend, but we did go to thrift stores, we did go to op shops, we did make some money elsewhere. We did have some sales too. You remember last week we had like a horrible sales week. I think I made like $200 on eBay, and I mean that's bad, you know, like that's, you can't live off of that. I'm not living off of this, thank God, you know, like my fucking, my rent is like triple that amount. So if I was relying on reselling, I'd be in a lot of trouble. But this week we did a bit better, and I'll go into sales a bit later because I want to talk about the things that I bought this week. So what did I buy? The first thing that I bought, I found in a Savers thrift store for $9.99, and it's a category that can often be overlooked because what it appears to be is something that's boring and something that you don't associate with a lot of money. It's just a standard wall clock. Just a clock, a standard wall clock. You might have left it behind in the past, but I guarantee you, you will not be doing that after I tell you a little secret. So the clock that I found, it was branded Cobb & Co. And this is a company that's known for their high quality wall clocks. They're made out of Australian pine wood. They have solid brass on them and they are hand sanded and varnished. So these pieces, they're all unique, all handmade, and they sell for a lot of money and they have a really high sell through rate. If you buy these brand new, they all come with like a lifetime guarantee. So you know that it's going to be high quality. You know they're going to probably work if you find them out in the wild. And if you find them for $10 like I did, you need to buy it, because if we look at the comps for this wall clock, again, it doesn't look anything special. I saw it on the wall and I saw it at Savers and I thought, this brand sort of, like, it reminds me of, it's like something was calling to me about this. And I think it was because when I used to live in my old place, it must have been 18 months ago, maybe a bit longer than that, I remember buying a clock from this garage sale for $5. And this was back when I didn't really comp things at all, and I would get everything back from a garage sale, and I would look up the comps for each of these items, and it would be like Christmas time, because I would get excited. I'd be like, oh shit, what does this go for? And I couldn't believe when I found the comps for this clock. If you look on eBay right now, if you do a search for Kopp & Co., if you look at their wall clocks, especially the ones with the brass around the edges, they're selling, if you include postage, for about $150. So this $10 wall clock that I bought is going to end up selling, and I've listed it for $150 on eBay. I did $100 on Marketplace, $150 on eBay. And they have such a good sell-through rate that I believe I'm going to be able to sell this within the 90 days, you know, the 90 days that the sold comps are there for. When I picked this up last time, it was before the podcast, obviously, I had somebody come and buy it from me. I think I even got $100. Like, it's ringing a bell. It was a carer, like a nurse, who came and she was talking to me about this specific clock. Because, you know, you can just go buy a fucking $5 Kmart wall clock, and it does the exact same thing, right? But this nurse, this carer, was looking after an old man, and he said to this lady, like, I want a wall clock. I don't know if he said it like this, but he said, I want a wall clock and it has to be a Kopp & Co. So there's this loyalty to the brands that some Australians have, maybe the older generations, I fucking don't know. I definitely don't have a loyalty to wall clocks. I don't even think I own a wall clock. I don't know why I'm saying I don't think, as if like I don't know what's up on my walls. I don't own a wall clock. This has some brand loyalty. This has people that are wanting to buy it. And for $100 to $150, that's a decent amount of money for a fucking clock, right? I mean, people pay more than that on their watches. I don't know if it's just me, but I never assumed really that you could get like a really nice expensive wall clock. Do Rolex make wall clocks? I don't know. I don't think they do. I think it's a completely different market than watches. But yeah, if you find this brand at a garage sale or at a thrift store, you need to be buying it. Yeah, just look in that sort of clock section. It should be a section that you're looking in now. There's never like that many wall clocks at a thrift store or at a op shop, but if they do pop up, at least look at the brands. If they're just the cheap plastic ones, you can ignore them. But yeah, look for like well-made, like expensive materials too. Like this is made of pine. You'll be able to see it. It's worth a bit more. And then you add the brass onto it and you're like, okay, we're getting some expensive materials. We can see it has a brand on the front of it. Like, put two and two together and you get like a $150 wall clock, right? So that was the first thing that I bought. I'm thinking like, all right, we're off to a good start for the week, turning 10 into 150. So what's the next thing that we're going to be finding, right? And the next thing I found is something that I really don't like buying, just because it's saturated at thrift stores. If you're watching YouTube resellers, or if you're in this sort of niche and you consume this sort of content, a lot of people sell this shit, and I think it gets overlooked by the staff at the thrift stores because it never really has that much value. I don't know. I'm just waffling on, but what I found was a Thomas and Friends complete series, and this was in a circular metal tin. If you've been doing this for a while, you've probably seen something similar, and it was in the book section. It was brand new, still in the little shrink wrap, and it was, yeah, the complete series on DVD from 1 to 10. Like I said, I don't like buying Thomas and Friends stuff. I just think it's so fucking, I don't know the right words to explain it. It does nothing for me. I see it all the time. It's usually pretty shit. It's not unique. It's just fucking everywhere. So I found it and I wasn't going to get it just because I looked at the price tag and they wanted fucking $20 for this shit. So I'm thinking they obviously know that this is going to be pretty good. I look up comps for this circular metal tin Thomas and Friends DVD, and most of the comps are around the $80 mark, around $79.99, $80. So it would be 20 to 80. I mean, it's not the best, you know, especially when in the past we've done 20 into fucking $2,500 with the Bratz dolls, but I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, oh, I don't really want to be spending $20 on that. Like, I mean, that's a fucking Subway, right? So, I don't know. I look at the comps, and I notice that none of these are brand new. We have a lot of pre-owned for $80. None of them are brand new. And you know from experience that if something is brand new, it has that fucking shrink wrap plastic on it, it can sell for more money. You can ask for a lot more money. So I'm thinking that, and I'm looking at the sell-through rate. If it's going to be a good sell-through rate, then let's do it. And I check out the sell-through rate, and within Australia, we have a 200% sell-through rate. So that's when things get a bit more interesting because of the fact that it's brand new. Because of the fact it has a high sell-through rate, I'd be the only one with a brand new copy. I can chuck it up. And I can ask for more money than everyone else. They're asking $80 for pre-owned. Let's go fucking $100 to $120 brand new. And that seems like a lot, but people will pay that for brand new. Some people don't like buying pre-owned shit. So we can capitalize on that. We can call it our Australia tax for asking for more money too. So I've chucked this up for $120 with free post. And considering we paid $20 for it, 20 into 120 is a lot more appealing to me than 20 into $80. And I know it's only $40 difference, and after fees and after post, it's probably going to work out, you know, close to the same. But it just sits better with me that we're over that $100 mark. So if you find this out in the wild, it's literally just like, it looks like a CD case. You remember those old CD cases had the zippers, you could fit however many CDs into the slot. That's what it looks like. It has like the metal tin on the top and the bottom, has the zipper around the edges. It's not too thick. I mean, you couldn't shove it into a fucking DVD player. But yeah, keep an eye out for this. If you find it and it's not marked up like Savers have done, like they marked it up for $20, which is a lot when you're reselling. You might be able to get it for a bit less. If you can get it for $5 and you want to sell it for $80, then, you know, you could do that. But yeah, just keep an eye out for it. Don't buy the individual seasons, because if you're going to be paying, I don't know, maybe do. What are the odds that you're going to be able to find them? That's the thing. So, yeah. Yeah, just keep an eye out for this fucking metal circle complete series 1 to 10. Anyway, that was hiding in the kids book section, which is weird considering they marked it at $20, so they must have known what it was, but they've put in the kids book section, unless someone else changed it, I don't know. Anyway, speaking of things that were in the kids book section, we have the next item that it really shouldn't have been there. I found it in the kids books, and it shouldn't have been there. It was a manga book series. It was volume 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 called Made in Abyss. I've done well with manga before, and in some cases, the series is nothing special if it's printed in the original Japanese language, but you can find manga that is more valuable when it's in English. And this is one of those cases, because, for example, we have like sold comps for volume 1 to 13 in Japanese for $120. But if you look at the English versions, we have individual volumes that are selling for big money, like volume 3 in English, $120. Volume 5, $90. The thing is, this cruel twist of fate, the earlier English versions are what go for more money than the later versions. So my volume 6 to 10, it isn't as rare as the earlier copies, but we can still get some decent money for it. I paid $25 in total for these manga books, and I should be able to list those up for about $200 on eBay. So it'll be 25 into 200 bucks for these mangas. They seem to be quite rare here in Australia. The English version is also more rare than the Japanese version. So I think I'll be able to sell these. I haven't listed them on Marketplace. I should probably do that. But the reason that they shouldn't be in the kids' book section, I'll explain why. I was hesitant to be walking around with these fucking things. I have them, let me go get them, and I want to just describe these fucking things to you, okay? All right. So, first of all, I don't know anything about this fucking series, okay? Made in Abyss. I don't know what it's about. I don't know who the characters are, how old they're supposed to be, anything like that. But, okay, I'm looking at them. And when I got, like, all five of these books, I made sure that I put the books with the most normal-looking graphics at the top and at the bottom so nobody could see what the fuck I was buying, okay? Because when I'm looking at the covers, they're just, like, they're just fucking weird. Like, there's one here, and it looks like a little kid, maybe around, fuck, I don't know, maybe like 7 years old, without a shirt on, and I can't tell if it's a fucking boy or a girl, and it's just fucking disturbing. The other one looks like it's like a group of three. They all look like children, and they're dressed in like a sarong. I don't fucking know. They're just weird, man. Like, what is it with these manga things that just have young characters dressed up in scantily clad fucking outfits? And it gets weirder when you open up the books too. Like I opened the books up to see what language it was inside of it. And on the page that's directly behind the cover, where is it? I saw it the other day and I took a photo of it because I sent it to my partner because it was so fucking weird. Oh, here it is. So on the inside of volume number 7, it's like a picture. You can literally see tits. You can see boobs. And I don't know who this character is, who the character's supposed to be. This is, like, it's not even hidden. You can see everything. You can see fucking everything on this character. I don't know how old she is supposed to be. She doesn't look as young as the other characters, but I don't... What the fuck is this shit? What is this shit? Seriously. What the fuck is this shit? Can we look... How do I... I want to find out who this character is so I can see how they explain away this fucking thing. Oops, I just bumped the microphone then. Let's just see who this fucking character is. I've just done a Google Lens search to see who this person is. So the results are in Japanese. Ah, fuck, I don't know how to work this out. How am I supposed to work this out? Okay, it's all in Japanese. I cannot figure it out. But this Made in Abyss thing is... I'll be happy when it's out of my fucking home, I'll tell you, because I don't like having this shit around. I don't know if this stuff is... I mean, it's obviously legal. It's obviously... It's manga. It's like art or whatever, but it just doesn't sit right with me. It's every single time I buy this manga shit, why do they have to have the weirdest fucking drawings in them? Why? And also, why do they have to be worth a lot of money too? Like, the fact that they're worth a bit of money and I have to, they're drawn, I'm drawn to them because they're worth fucking money. But why do they have to be so weird that I have to hide the fact that I'm buying these fucking things? And I usually take a photo of the inside of the book when I'm listing up books. Why did it's the first page I have to be? Why does the first page I have to open be a, a fucking naked person. Like, why do you have to be so fucking weird, manga people? What the fuck? Now, maybe there's an innocent explanation. Maybe it's like this society that finds it freeing to not wear clothes, or and this person is actually like a 40-year-old woman but just looks young. Like, I swear I've heard that before, where people get away with drawing this shit because they say that it's like, oh, this is an 80-year-old woman. She just looks like a fucking, like, 18-year-old girl. Like, fucking walking a tightrope there, I tell ya. Anyway, yeah, $200 for this fucking weird series. I haven't even read the book. I haven't even read, like, a page to see what they're talking about. Maybe they explain away the weirdness on the first fucking page. It should stand out to you when you're at a thrift store just based on the spine of the book. It was easy to spot for me. It just had, like, these little Japanese drawings at the bottom of the spine. Usually when it has, like, the numbers too, you know it's, like, a volume series, and you can sometimes get lucky with them. The fact that it was, like, five in a row is another reason that I bought them. A lot of times you'll find, like, just one random volume. I won't really deal with that. But yeah, five in a row, yeah, I'll pick those up. Just if you buy these, just, yeah, when you're walking around, do what I do and look for the cover that isn't the weirdest one to be showing people, because you don't want to be getting looks from people being like, is this cunt walking around with, I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to fucking say it. Anyway, let's move on, because it's just fucking weird. This next item's a bit fucking weird too. I had no idea what it was. I saw it and I was like, what on earth is this thing? It was in the electronics section and it was branded Klein Tools. And usually when I see something that I'm personally unfamiliar with and then I read what it is on the packaging and I'm still like, well, I still don't know what the fucking thing is. That to me is sort of like a green flag of, oh, this must be some sort of like specialized tool. And this is an electronic item. So I'm like, okay, this must be some sort of specialized electronic tool. And usually when you get specific, you can make a bit of money. So the thing that I had no idea what it was, it said it was a VDV Scout Pro 3 tester kit by the company Klein Tools. It was still in its packaging, so it was brand new. I read that, I looked at the thing, and I thought, well, no idea what this is, but it's brand new, so let's look up the comps. Let's find out what the fuck this is. And I mean, it looks like a taser, right? With like a few different charges. So what am I supposed to do with this thing? I look it up, and I can see that on eBay, we have some good results. We have some sold listings in the $150 range. I look at the sell-through rate, 118 listings, 132 sold. That means an over 100% sell-through rate. That means if you list it up for the average price, it's going to sell within 90 days. This all is ticking boxes for me, right? I then change it to within Australia, and the sell-through rate changes not for the better. We have 42 listed, 3 sold. That's not very good, but not to worry. We'll undercut all of the active listings. They sell, what, like at 1 per month? So I do $149.95. That's instantly the cheapest one on the market. Will we get a quick sale? Yeah, sure, maybe. To be completely honest with you, I still don't know what this fucking thing is. It looks like it's testing like an Ethernet cable, like an internet cable. Maybe it's like a speed tester for electricians, for people that are dealing with the internet. But when it comes to items that are brand new, still in its packaging, we know the comps, we know the active listings. We really don't need to do any research into this item. We really don't. If it was opened, we'd have to test it out somehow or list it up as untested. The fact that it's still sealed, we just have to list it up and that's it. I don't really need to know what this is. If you know what a VDV Scout Pro 3 tester kit is, please let me know. It's really not important though. All that's important is I bought it for $8 and it's going to sell for $150. That's what is important. It doesn't interest me in the slightest, so we leave that behind. Here's something that did interest me, and it sort of like was before my time, but it was like what, one of Australia's first collectibles, or what could have been first collectibles? Like, we have now in the collectible market, what do you have? Fucking Labubus, you have the Pokemon cards. But if we go back, what is now, what, fucking 50 years, back in the 70s, way before my time, my mum and my dad were still growing up. I mean, my mum was born in 67. She was, she was growing up in the 70s, I guess. It was extremely popular to collect Smurfs, like little Smurf figurines, Smurf merchandise. But the weirdest thing is, you didn't go to like a Pop Mart. You didn't go to, fuck, where are people buying Labubus and shit now from? Pokemon cards, EB Games. I bought a Labubu on the side of the street, so that was as a joke gift to somebody. But you didn't go buy these Smurf figurines on the side of the street. These Smurf figurines, of all fucking places, were sold in BP petrol stations. So petrol stations in Australia were your go-to place for collectible Smurf shit. So that's right, you fill your cart with petrol, you go in, you pay 10 bucks at the cash register, and you say, give me one of those fucking 85 cent Smurf figurines. And I was able to look online and find like some of the original advertising for these Smurf figurines. We were able to find like their old posters, some of the like the text, the some of the like advertising packages BP would give to the service stations. And they were talking about, I'm going to read this to you actually. This is like the advertising to convince BP petrol stations to start selling Smurfs. And I quote, "The day the Smurfs go on sale at your BP station is the day you start to make more profit. It's true. In the UK, the Smurfs proved themselves the profit-making hotshots of the service station business. They turned over £1 million, that's nearly $2 million, in their first 6 weeks, and all the research says they'll have the same success here." And it goes on and on to basically sell BP petrol stations on offering up these Smurf figurines. And at the very beginning, all they were selling were like these really small, maybe like, I don't know, like 10 centimeter, 7 centimeter Smurf figurines, just plastic shit. The Smurfs doing different things. Like there's a Smurf with like a spanner. There's another Smurf with a like a fucking birthday present, one holding a tennis racket, one as an astronaut, just really basic shit. And back in the 70s, I guess, because there was nothing else to do, they hadn't invented phones or Nintendo Game Boys, the only thing that you could do was collect Smurf figurines, chuck them on a shelf and admire them, right? No fucking computers, no PlayStations, just Smurf figurines. BP, they'll pitch the idea and they fucking agreed on it. They heard the UK was going gangbusters, making a ton of money with Smurfs. So BP was like, all right, let's continue selling our petrol, but let's also sell Smurfs. I personally don't understand why, if the BP wanted to make more money, they didn't just start selling black market tobacco like in 2025, right? But no, collectible Smurf stuff. So that leads me to what I found, and what I found was in a thrift store for $4, I found, with its original tag, which featured information about BP, was this Smurfs pajama bag. Now, I don't know what's happened to pajama bags in 2025. I don't know if they're still a thing. I was going to say to you, I haven't seen a pajama bag since I was a kid, but that would make sense because if I visit friends, then they're not going to have a pajama bag. If I go to my family's place, they're not going to have their old Bananas in Pajamas pajama bag hanging up off their door. So I don't know if they're still a thing, if kids still use them. I remember my sister had the Bananas in Pajamas one back in the day. I guess you'd keep your pajamas in there. In the back, there's like this Velcro hook and loop system that you can just shove your clothes in there. I was half expecting when I bought this pajama bag that I'd be uncovering like some kid from the 80s fucking pajamas. Maybe it was a cool print that like vintage fucking clothes, I could make even more money. But no, there was no pajamas in there. Probably for a good thing. I would be really weird if there was. But yeah, it's like this like 40 centimeter pajama bag with its original tag. On the tag, it talked, on the tag, it featured information about BP. So this pajama bag was sold in those very same petrol stations that all the other collectibles were sold. And look, because it's that old, there was no active or sold listings for this thing. But I think when you talk about the history of this product and the history of Smurfs being sold in this weird location, it's just too fucking cool not to pick up. And I mean, it looks cool. I'm sure there would be a Smurf collector out there that would like something like this. It would, I mean, even the tag, it's like an old school tag. It says 1980 on the tag. I think it's just an item that sells itself. I mean, it sells itself if you tell people that, like, yes, you used to buy this in a BP, because maybe people don't know that nowadays in 2025. But yeah, it's in amazing condition. It's 45 years old. It didn't have a speck of fuel on it. I don't know how it works back in the day when all the mechanics and the people that worked at the fuel stations got their hands on all these little, like, I mean, it's plush. It's like a plush toy without the plush on the inside. I don't know how their grubby hands didn't get all over these fucking things, but yeah, it's in great condition. And I think somebody, I mean, I don't know if anybody will buy it. It's had a couple of views on eBay so far. No one watching it. I can't remember if I put it on Facebook Marketplace, but if it's on Marketplace, it'll be $50. On eBay, it's $100. I just think it was too cool to leave behind. And I think there was a advertisement that used to play on TV or at BP petrol stations. I'm going to see if I can quickly find it, and I can chuck it in here if it doesn't get copyright struck.
Oh, goody, look. A new way to send Smurfy greetings. Those Smurfs think of everything. You get a special bag to post them in too. And what fun to get one. Oh, look, the snuggly Smurfs. And footy jumpers in club colours for your big Smurf to wear. Oh, hello. You're new. Oh, there's lots of new Smurfery to see at BP now. So, call in, won't you?
That's what the 70s were like, I guess, collecting Smurfs from a BP petrol station. So yeah, that was too cool to leave behind. And in the exact same thrift store, I was able to find a sports jersey. Now, I know I talk a lot about sports jerseys. They aren't the most interesting thing to most people, but the price that you can sell it for is interesting. So I found it for $16.79. And it's a worth a hell of a lot more than that. Well, first, let me tell you what it is. So it is a AFL jersey. It is from the team, the Carlton Blues. Now, the reason I'm saying the full name, the Carlton Blues, is because this is not your run-of-the-mill jersey. I tend to leave them behind if they're just like your standard jersey from, you know, 2025, 2024, one that everyone will have. You know, if you're a jersey collector, you would obviously have the most popular, the standard jersey for your team. Now, this specific jersey, it's actually a bit infamous because people fucking hated it. I'll tell you why. This is the Carlton Blues. Their entire thing, their entire fucking identity is wrapped up in their name and their colours, which is obviously the Blues. But the team name, no, the team song, the song lyrics, they start off with this. They say, "We are the Navy Blues. We are the old dark Navy Blues." That's how the song starts off. They say what their fucking colours are. Like, "We are the Navy Blues. We are the old dark Navy Blues." So what do these cunts do back in 2011 for the 2012 season? They changed their jersey colour to a fucking baby blue colour. So this thing, this team that is so focused on being like, "We are the old dark Navy Blues," is like, "All right, we're going to change it to baby blue now." It's like, what the fuck? It sounds silly, right? Like, it's just a color. But this team was founded in 1864. And for the past 150 fucking years, they were so content with their color being navy blue. Then all of a sudden in 2011, the people in charge were like, "What about baby blue?" And It's like, what are you doing? That's what the fans were like. The fans were like, what the fuck are you doing? We are the Navy Blues. We are the old dark Navy Blues. Do you know nothing about us? Why did you change it to fucking Baby Blues? And look, granted, it lasted for 4 games. Not even kidding. It was so controversial, so hated by the fans that the team put out a press release. And the press release is essentially deflecting the blame and the decision onto like the AFL. But the press release is low-key fucking hilarious, right? I'm just going to read out 3 statements in this press release. Now, the last one I think is the fucking funniest, but they start off by saying, so why the light blue jersey and shorts in Monday night's match against St. Kilda? And their response is AFL rules. That's the only reason. So that's literally how it starts off. And then they ramble on for a bit, and there's a couple other bangers in here, like this one here, this gem. It says, it really doesn't matter what the alternate strip is, it is not the Carlton uniform. Like, what the fuck? These cunts have said this is our uniform, and then when they get the backlash, they're like, it's not our uniform. Okay, we'll be wearing it, yes, but it's not our uniform, right? Okay, but you designed it, like, and you are wearing it, but you're now saying it's not a uniform. Okay. But the funniest part is the ending, because they say, and I quote, in the end, the Carlton official colour is navy blue because we are the Navy Blues. And the most important thing is that we are winning. Now, here's a spoiler. If you don't want a spoiler for the 2011-2012 AFL season, they didn't win. They didn't fucking win that year. Like, the most important thing is that we are winning. No, you didn't win. I'm sorry. You didn't win the grand final. You didn't even come in second. You didn't come in third. You fucking lost. So this fucking thing, a bit distracted here, but there's no active listings for this jersey. There's no there's a couple of sold listings, but they're scattered around because nobody listed them accurately, which is fucking pet peeve of mine. But yeah, so this baby blue jersey that was released in 2011 for, I think, the 2011-2012 season is fucking hated, yet it sells for a lot of money. Now, it's just the way to differentiate it. I mean, I guess if you're a Carlton fan, you'll know that you're the old dark Navy Blues. This is the baby blue, but it has the Carlton logo. That's how you differentiate them. And the reason why it stood out to me was because it was literally sitting next to a standard Carlton jersey, which is fucking old dark Navy blue, and this was baby blue. So I thought, well, one is the original, like maybe the home jersey, and the baby blue might have been the away jersey. Like, I didn't know anything about this baby blue fucking jersey controversy, so I looked it up, couldn't find much, brought it home, and the 2 sold comps on eBay are for $200 and $250. So I decided to list mine up for $250, and within like the first fucking 30 minutes, I had maybe that many views. It is sitting on, I think last time I checked, about 5 people watching, and it hasn't been up for that long, but the views are now crazy. I don't think this jersey was bought by many fans because they fucking hated it. I don't think it lasted very long because, again, it was only worn for 4 matches. So I guess if your fan base hates the color of a jersey, no one's going to be buying it. It's going to go out of fashion and go out of fashion. That's not the right word, but nobody's just going to be fucking buying this thing. So there's been a few times in the past, I don't know, maybe like 10 years, that the Carlton Football Club has put up posts on social media being like, oh, for the clash this year, should we go back to the baby blue? And all of the comments are basically saying, like, fuck you guys. No, we are the old dark Navy Blues. I can't get over that fucking marketing decision. Like, your entire identity is, we are the old dark Navy Blues. And then for this season, they're like, we are going to change that. Like, how fucking dumb was this decision? Of course they're going to get blowback. Anyway, that will be, how much did I pay for this fucking thing? I think I paid like $16.49. A very strange price. 16, yeah, around that. The size medium, lots of people watching it. I really think that's going to sell quickly. I mean, it hasn't sold yet, so it's not going to sell that quickly, but I really do think someone's going to pick that up soon. I was able to find a couple of other old school AFL things, but they were just mugs and they're not going to sell for that much money, but too good to leave behind. So I included photos of those in the Flip Weekly newsletter. Actually, everything that I've talked about so far, if you want to see them on, if you want to see their photos, go to flipweekly.com. It's all there on the newsletter. You can also see everything that was shoved inside of that fucking VHS DVD combo. I couldn't believe how much fucking shit was put inside of this combo. It's like, I was going to make an inappropriate joke. How did all of this fit? You know, I'm looking at this unit and I'm looking at everything that was inside of it. And you're like, how did that get in there? And you didn't think it would fit. Anyway, we should probably move on to what I sold. And what I sold this week, fuck. I mean, we sold a lot. Last week, we barely had any sales. This week, we had a lot of sales. We had the fucking video games going berserk. And this is why people buy video game deals on Marketplace. That's why people are buying them within a minute of them being listed, because they just resell so quickly. Like, the very first thing that I listed up was sold on Facebook Marketplace was the Pokemon Nintendo console and controller. The controller's joystick was fucked, and yet on Facebook Marketplace, it sold within a day for $350. Now, the deal last week was $550 cash for the bundle. Now, this was $350. I've almost got my money back. Now, the Nintendo 64 originally had the expansion pack inside of the console. Fucking take that out if you're going to be selling it. Sell it by itself, because that thing goes for $100. So I was able to get that. It didn't have the expansion pack cover on it, but the person that bought it didn't care. They still paid $350. So that was out the door, despite having that loose joystick controller. Somebody still wanted it. I don't know if they were going to play it or for a for display. So that was out the door. $350. We're making our money back. And the next thing that sold was also a part of that deal, and it was the PlayStation Vita. So the Vita had a game inside of it. I didn't know it at the time. I don't know if I talked about this, but I popped it open when I was taking photos, and I could see it had an old FIFA game in it, which is good. You know, it bulks up the deal. And then I noticed that it also had a memory card inside of it, and it was the official Sony memory card, 32 gigabyte. That by itself can sell for $100. So I can list up, well, I listed up the PlayStation Vita with all of those accessories on Marketplace for $200, and I think it sold within a day. So there's $200 back with the original $350. So that's $550. We've made our money back within a day. The pricing for these, by the way, are significantly below the sold listings on eBay. That's because I list them on Facebook Marketplace after, with the price that I would get after eBay fees. So for example, the Nintendo 64 console, which sold for $350 on Marketplace, I would list that up on eBay for $450 with free shipping. But once you add in that, like, it'll cost me $15 to ship, and then the eBay fees would be $75. So you take that away from the $450, and you're basically at $350 of profit if it was on, if it sold on eBay. So I just listed $350 on Marketplace, and that's why it sold really, really quickly, because I mean, it's up against a $450 lot on eBay. If you can save $100 by buying on Marketplace, then fucking do it. I've also found that the PS Vita, I mean, this is the first one I've ever sold, but I've sold the PSP before. These are both handheld console units, like portable gaming units. They have sold really fast for me in the past. So I mean, if you find these out in the wild, which you probably won't, but you might be able to get lucky at a garage sale on Facebook Marketplace, buy them, because they sell for good money. Now, the next item was also from the gaming bundle. It was this SNES Super Nintendo Classic Mini. Now, this is one of those old school video game consoles, but it's not that old. It's a newer one because they have the games built inside of it. Like, it's not a cartridge, it's all built inside. And you might think, oh, that's newer, it's not worth that much money. It sold within a day on eBay for $120. So we're making our money back. We are easily in the profit from the deal last week. And then again, another eBay sale, a Super Mario Kart for the SNES, Super Nintendo, that sold for $50. And then we have the Wii U console that I got in the bundle. That also sold on Marketplace for $150. And then we have a Game Boy game, Kirby's Dream Land, sold for $40 on eBay. So we are making so much money back from this $550 deal. And guess what? We still have $1,500 worth of games left on eBay, including that fucking holy grail StarCraft 64. That is the Nintendo 64 game that is listed up for $520, the most expensive Nintendo 64 game that you can buy in the PAL version. I've turned down some lowball offers on that in the $300 range. I'm just waiting for somebody to buy it. They are going to buy it. It's just a matter of time. The next item is probably my favorite sale of 2025. It was an item I found for a dollar. I sold it for $99.95, $1 into $100. This is the type of return that we like. And it was the Viagra Pharmaceutical Collectible Drug Rep Plate. Now, this is that type of plate that is like a plastic, is it melanine or metalline or whatever the fuck that is. It's not like a glass plate. It's not a plastic plate. It's like whatever's in between. Sophie on Instagram, So's Flippin' Mad, said the funniest line. She said, once I posted this on social media, she said, a lot of coke is going to be done off this plate. And I could not agree more. I cannot imagine why anybody would be buying this plate besides like those pharmaceutical rep collectible people. It has the Viagra logo on the plate. It has a winking tiger. I mean, are you going to be displaying this in your home? I don't know. If you missed out a couple of podcasts ago, I found a fucking niche, or I discovered a niche from somebody else, and it was all about how pharmaceutical merchandise from back in the day is so very collectible now to very unique people, and I was lucky enough to find a Viagra plate. I ended up posting it on Reddit, by the way, on the subreddit Pharma Rep Collectibles, and since then, I'm not even kidding, it's the number two most upvoted post of all time on that subreddit, and it's been seen by over 50,000 people. The views on that fucking plate on that subreddit, 50 fucking thousand. Such a bizarre category of collectibles. Like, what do you collect? What do you at home collect? Do you collect, I don't know, fucking PlayStation games? Do you collect Funko Pops? Some people collect pharmaceutical rep merchandise. There are people in their home, instead of displaying those old Princess Diana plates up on their shelves, they're displaying Viagra plates. It's a strange world out there, right? But, I mean, a dollar into $100, so fucking cool. If you find any sort of drug rep items in the thrift, pick them up. Be sure to post them online. Be sure to tag me in it. I'd love to see just what is out there, because a plate with a winking tiger, is this a tiger or a lion? I don't fucking know. With the Viagra logo is just too fucking funny not to share with the world. Now, we have a couple of other sales. I'll just rattle them off. We have a thing called Daas Capital, D-A-A-S Capital, complete series on DVD. That was $3 into 70 off to Canada. I sold the Happy Days doll that was complete on the card, 7 into 50. That was a Facebook Marketplace deal. I actually sold the very first Bratz doll from the huge Bratz bundle. We are officially in the profit already. That was a $20 deal on Marketplace that had it had like a fucking $500 doll in there. So this doll that I sold wasn't the $500 doll. It was $64.95 on eBay. It was one of the dudes. Not much to say about that except for the fact that we are in the profit. And then another item that sold which is a bit weird, and I wouldn't usually talk about it, was because it was $5 into $20. Now, these are not the type of items I want to be selling, but over a year ago, I went to a garage sale, and this is after I followed some advice, or I heard something where old tools are worth picking up at garage sales. Now, I don't know fucking anything about tools, right? Like, I saw this measuring tape, this old fucking Stanley 20 feet American measuring tape at a garage sale for $5, and I just took a gamble on it. So it's been sitting with me for over a year. I've moved houses, I brought this fucking thing with me. I've never used it because the measurements are fucking American measurements. Like, I don't want to be like measuring items for like my Australia Post boxes in fucking feet. Like, I'm too fucking dumb to be able to make those conversions in my head. But I got a message on Facebook Marketplace. It might have been the first ever message that I've got about this measuring tape since having it for over a year. So the lady wrote to me, "Hello, is this still available and does it work well?" And then she said, "I'd love to collect it today if possible. It's for a film shoot." And I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, not the most bizarre marketplace message I've ever got, but still a bit bizarre. So I replied saying, yeah, it works fine. And then she replies to me, okay, she says, "Sorry, any chance you can send a video of it working? It's for a film shoot, so I have to confirm." And I'm like, all right, again, not that bizarre. Like, I've just told you that it works. It's a fucking measuring tape. You pull it out, it goes back in. You have the little locking mechanism. It's fine. Like, you've mentioned it's also for a film shoot twice in the fucking past 3 minutes. But anyway, seems a bit unnecessary, but I agree. And I send through a video of me like pulling this fucking measuring tape out, putting the little locking mechanism on it. I don't know at that point in time if I'm like contributing to someone's fucking weird sex fantasy of seeing hands working on a fucking measuring tape. So we move on. Everything seems okay, but the fucking requests, they just keep continuing for a measuring tape. She says, "Okay, could we have your cell phone number so I can pass that on? I'll be driving, so it will make it easier for comms." Now, this person has said to me before that somebody else is going to be coming to collect it, and now she said that she will be driving, so can we have your phone number? And it's starting to feel a bit weird. Like, I'm thinking, you don't need my fucking phone number. You're just coming to pick up a measuring tape. So I said, "I don't give out my phone number, sorry." And she replies to me, "Okay, we will do our best." I'm thinking, bitch, it's a fucking $20 measuring tape. What do you mean you're going to do your best? You just get in your car, you swing by, you pick it up. You don't need my phone number. You don't need to do your best. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean you do your best? Like, it's a fucking straightforward pickup. Have you ever picked something up before? Why do you need to be at your best to do it? Just fucking do it. Like, you place an order at Domino's and they tell you it's going to be ready in 20 minutes and you're like, okay, I'll try and make it. Like, just what do you mean you'll try and make it? You place your order, you pick up your food. You don't say like, "Oh, I hope I'll make it. I hope we'll try my best to make it." You just fucking go and pick up your pizza. Why do you have to do your best? Put on your shoes and get in your fucking car. Come collect this dumb thing. So I didn't give out my phone number. I said I'll leave it out for them. And I guess this person has done their best because they came and they picked it up. They left $20 in my freezer, my magic freezer. And then when I went down later in the day, I was able to get that $20 out of the freezer. Alas, my magic freezer. So that's most of the sales for the week. If you want to see some more, jump onto the flipweekly.com newsletter. There's photos there of everything that's sold, including the amount that I paid, the amount that I sold, and all that jazz. Anyway, that's all I've got for you this week. Make sure you check out Flip Weekly on social media. Follow us there. Make sure you check out the newsletter, flipweekly.com. If you're listening to this on YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a comment. If you're on Spotify, leave us a rating. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you again next week.
Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly.